Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. I'm Gwen Berry, and with me today is my buddy Jack Jodell. We have a really great guest with us today. Her name is Eleanor Goldfield, and I'm going to turn it over to Jack to let him introduce her to you.
Well, hello, everybody. It's nice to be with you all again, and we're very pleased that we have Eleanor Goldfield, a very young but very talented activist, multifaceted talent. She's all over the place with all kinds of good activist activities and stuff. She actually hosts her own television show, a half-hour weekly program on Free Speech TV that's just celebrated its first anniversary. By the way, I saw a great one last night, and I saw another really great one that I wanted to tell you about, Eleanor. That anniversary, the first anniversary show, it gave little snippets of the highlights of the first anniversary. And I was so amazed to see that you've already interviewed in your first year Chris Hedges, Jill Stein. I mean, you've interviewed a score of really noteworthy people, and hats off to you for that. Great job.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and we're very glad to have you here.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your show, how you format it and all that stuff, you know, your spoken word things and stuff. I mean, you're quite a good writer, too. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you've got it set up and all that stuff, Eleanor?
Well, the show specifically, Act Out, is it started basically because I felt that there was a bit of a hole missing in alternative media, basically that alternative media does a tremendous job of telling people what's really going on, but it doesn't tell people how to address that anger and depression that they feel when they find out what's really going on. And there are so many social movements happening right now that need people to engage with them. And unless you're kind of already plugged into those movements or know somebody who is, then it's really hard to find them if you're on the outside of these activism movements. So I decided that I wanted to have a show that touched on that, and that's what Act Out is. It's a way to engage people in activism and show them where to put their energy now that they know about everything from GMOs to, you know, healthcare issues to the military-industrial complex. So that's the idea. That's the idea behind Act Out. And, you know, as you said, part of that is interviewing people that are either grassroots activists, creative activists, journalists, writers, artists, all those people that have a strong stake in activism and sociopolitical issues.
It's very inspiring, too, I might add. And I want to encourage everybody out there to grab a pencil and a pad of paper or a pen and a pad of paper, because we're going to have a lot of cool information you're going to want to Google later on or something like that, or at least look up in one capacity or another, because it's all very relevant and it's quite a marvelous. It's just absolutely incredible. First off, I want to say thank you very much to Free Speech TV for running your show, Act Out, Eleanor. Free Speech is in the middle of a fundraising drive right now. They do it several times a year because they're completely non-commercial and 100% viewer-supported. They don't get any money from the government. They don't get any money from political parties. They don't get any money from corporations. They're completely viewer-supported, and that's why they're really the only true progressive network on television in the United States right now, and they're an invaluable source of good information. You know, regular media just gives you nothing but a bunch of commercials and a bunch of nonsense that is all propagandized news and worthless stuff like what Kim Kardashian's wearing and doing. Who cares? That's not relevant at all, and that's one of the best things about Free Speech and Act Out in particular, is that they bypass all that non-important garbage, and they get right to the real nitty-gritty of what's important and what's really out there. And we're going to cover a lot of things in this hour, just like Act Out does. So that's our goal for today. Eleanor, let's talk about Act Out a little bit further. Now, how you structure your show? You begin each show in which way?
So each show starts with a spoken word piece, which is, I would consider myself primarily, in terms of creativity, I consider myself a writer, lyricist, poet. So each show begins with a spoken word piece. And then from there, there are a few different sections that I use. The front lines is specifically talking about what's going on the front lines and how people can get involved. Either, you know, the sort of tagline is tweet from tweets to marching in the streets. The idea is that if you're not in that city and can't partake physically, you can partake digitally, because I do think that this day and age, the digital part of activism is important, although we shouldn't put too much emphasis on it. And then there are other sections, the Low Life Scum section, for example, which highlights a piece of shit of the week or the month or what have you. You know, everybody from Monsanto to Henry Kissinger to Obama to things like that. And then there's a Get Cozy section that I started a while back that talks about good activist movies or books that people can check out while wrapped in a Snuggie or something. And, you know, there's a quote of the day, which is sort of the same concept, but it's, you know, like a little blurb, like an inspiring or informational quote, something like that. So there are a few different, and of course the interview section. So there are a few different segments that are available, because I understand that people have the attention span of a gnat at this point in time, and I want to keep the show moving and keep it engaging while still, you know, pushing out that important information and activist news.
Great point, Eleanor, and I noticed that your show is quite fast-moving. There's not a dull moment whatsoever, not a wasted word.
Okay.
I want to mention here, I mentioned Free Speech TV. They're in the middle of that fundraising drive. I want to give you a telephone number, people, if you would write it down, please, and follow up on it if you would. It would really help. Their toll-free number is 877-378-8669. Again, it's 877-378-8669, or you can reach them and donate on their website, which is freespeech.org. I'd highly recommend that you peruse their site if you've never heard of them. Check them out. They're really, really good viewing. There's all kinds of great other shows on there. Amy Goodman's a great lefty journalist, investigative journalist. Mike Papantonio's a great lefty lawyer that has sued many corporations successfully. Tom Hartman is a one-of-a-kind fellow. He's great. And, of course, Eleanor's on there, too, with ACT OUT. Plus, there's a lot of other great documentaries and stuff, too. So check out Free Speech TV. That's my bid for free speech this week. Hello to all the staff out there. They do a great job, and they do a wonderful job of bringing us great programs like ACT OUT. Eleanor, tell us a little bit about you're not only a writer, a poet, and that sort of thing. You have that great stream of consciousness prose every beginning of every show, but you're also quite a vocalist. Let's talk about that a little bit. You're in your own band, Rooftop Revolutionaries.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I would consider myself creatively first a lyricist and poet. So Rooftop Revolutionaries comes from that same space of combining my two passions of lyrics and, of course, music. I was a classically trained opera singer as a child, and then I fell in love with hard rock and shifted from opera to rock music. And so Rooftop Revolutionaries was a coming together of those two passions. So it's a political hard rock band, and it focuses, the overarching theme, which is sort of the overarching theme of my politics as well, is the issue of money and politics. But the band touches on a lot of different issues, sometimes more abstractly in a sort of a lyrical sense, and sometimes very forcefully and pointedly.
Now, on your show, there's a lot of heavy guitar background and stuff in between segments. Now, is that part of your band performing that, or is that somebody else?
That is sort of. I mean, it's not a Rooftop song, but it is the other half of Rooftop Revolutionaries is Brian Marshak, who's a phenomenal guitarist, producer, mixer, engineer, and so he wrote. I asked him to write basically a piece for ACT OUT that I could use, and so he wrote that specifically for ACT OUT.
Well, it's very driving, and it's kind of infectious. It really is. I enjoy it quite
good.
A bit, and it's very nice to hear. And it's kind of the only really hard rock musical background television show. So. Another niche for you there.
Yeah, Hard Rock is sort of an unfortunately, I didn't choose to be alive at this time, but I am alive at a time when Hard Rock is in a definite lull.
Right.
So it's sort of a little anti-establishment, I suppose, to also be into Hard
right.
Rock. But yeah, I mean, I have no problem with hip hop. I'm not a huge fan of pop, just kind of by default, but hip hop has definitely taken center stage of the music industry. There are some great underground hip hop artists. I mean, not so much underground, but certainly not going to be winning a Grammy
prominent.
Anytime soon. People like Brother Ali, Jaziri X, Rebel Diaz. I mean, those are tremendous artists that speak out about socio-political issues. But
that's
definitely not my forte. I am a hard rock woman and will always be. So that is definitely woven into ACT OUT and a lot of things that I do.
Now, Rooftop Revolutionaries has released, I think, an EP or something and a couple of albums. Is that right? A couple of full-length discs?
It's actually one full-length, and it's three EPs.
Oh, okay.
So there's a first full-length album, and then there was a series of three EPs, Red, White, and Blue, that were released. So, yeah.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear it. I've ordered the Red, White, and Blue, and I've ordered Resolute. Is that the first album? Is that the album?
Yeah, Resolute.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to receiving them this week sometime, and I'm really going to give them a listen because I've followed all kinds of music for many, many, many years, and I really love all kinds of music, except certain kinds don't do much for me. But by and large, I love it all, and I have a 2,500 CD collection, so I listened to quite a lot of stuff from the 30s onward, you know. I like all kinds of music, and even classical, and you know, all kinds of esoteric stuff, as well as hard rock, as well as 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, modern stuff, Enya, all kinds of stuff. So I have quite a diverse taste, and I'm very looking forward to it. Eleanor, you have a very, very powerful singing voice. I've heard little snippets, and I am very amazed that you were once trained as an opera singer.
Yeah,
I find that incredible. Just absolutely incredible.
Eleanor,
so,
can I ask you a question here? How did you get to be so political and media savvy at such a young age? Our sponsor, Roundtree 7, this is David coming at you from the chat room. He's really impressed with your writing, and he's wondering.
Thank you. To answer that question, I mean, I think I have to, you know, just like all children, I have to blame my parents. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're activists, I don't think. I mean, my mom has definitely become an activist, or perhaps she's always been one and I just didn't notice. But she definitely pointed me in the direction of more direct action. She went door to door and spoke out against nuclear energy, and she took me to some of my first anti-war protests. She does a lot of environmental activism. She's also worked on a few Green Party campaigns. She's a graphic designer and artist. My father's a historian and a writer who specifically deals with the Civil War and Southern history, and has gotten some nice juicy death threats from the KKK due to his work that really targets the Southerners' inability to let go of the Civil War, and in particular the fact that they lost.
Wow.
So growing up in that, and also growing up between North Carolina and Sweden, that extreme shift in socio-political realities, I think it's almost impossible to not be political when you're confronted with these two very different forms of politics. And combine that with my parents, who are very intellectual and in their own ways activists and very savvy in terms of you know, current events. It was impossible for me not to become an activist, I think. And part of that also was that I wasn't allowed to watch TV when I was growing up, but I was allowed to watch the news, which, and to their credit, it was less corporatized when I was a kid, I feel.
Right.
So so I was allowed to watch the news, and in that I was able to pick up on current events rather than, you know, TV shows or sort of vapid entertainment. So I think it just I just sort of became politically aware by growing up in that environment. And then also, of course, I started paying attention to the world around me. And I think this is how I really tell people that are confused as how they can become an activist. You just pay attention. You know, instead of walking past that homeless man, ask yourself why he's there. Start asking those questions, like, if you see trash on the side of the road, pick it up. Take an interest in the environment around you and start asking questions as to why these things are the way that they are, as opposed to just accepting it and letting it filter off of you, let it filter through you. And I think I started doing that by default, and then I recognized that that's what activism is.
Yeah, you told me at one point that your parents, you had very interesting dinner table discussions based on current events and history and things like that. And, you know, that was very similar to what I read about the Kennedy family, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy. They used their father was very, very strict and made sure that all the kids, the girls and the boys, all talked about politics or current events or the world in general, and they grew up very, very, very savvy and very aware of the world around them, and so have you, too. So your folks did a great job in that regard, Eleanor. That's great.
I think so, too.
Eleanor, I can relate to that a little bit. Well, a lot, actually. But I have a question for you, Eleanor. What part of North Carolina were you in?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Right by the South Carolina border.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the area. I lived for a while actually up in Avery County next to Grandfather Mountain.
Okay, yeah. I adore Asheville. To me, Asheville is a bit like Austin, Texas. It's like this oasis of Austin in the midst of conservative bigotry.
It is. It's exactly like that.
That's great. You know, one of the great things I love about your show, Eleanor, is that it is so informative, and you encourage people to not just sit and take what you're fed, to look stuff up, and one of the great phrases you have, and you devote a segment to it almost every show, is it says, Google that shit. In other words, go to your computer, hit Google or whatever search engine you want to use, and look stuff up. Don't take it for granted that you're getting fed the truth, because a lot of times, especially on network TV, you're getting fed nothing but bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. And I want people to fact-check me, too. You know, I mean, I get a lot of my information from, you know, from the ground, which is obviously first-person narrative, but sometimes I do a lot of research online, and sometimes I get emails saying, like, hey, I don't think that's right, and I want that. I want people to do their own research and find something that I didn't find. I want people to challenge me and challenge each other, because that's how we can all become more informed. And you have at your fingertips, like, the most information in one place at the quickest, like, pace that humans have ever had access to. And you can do so much more than look up dates or cat videos. I mean, we have the ability to find so much information that it's absurd that people aren't fact-checking politicians, that people aren't fact-checking each other, that people are just sharing memes or vapid, pointless, incorrect information online. It's unacceptable. And I think, like, because we have this tool, we need to get in the habit of using it for the power that it can really give us, and that is to be the informed populace that we have to be in order to create change.
Eleanor,
I'll be a furry blue windscreen. Say, what is
exactly.
that? What is that thing you use for a windscreen on your mic? It's so cool. It's so artistic.
It's just a little, you know. I get a lot of. I think that's the star of the show. I think it's just a windscreen. You know, it's like the.
I've never seen one quite like that.
Me and the other guy who run the show, we're both audio people. I mean, I worked in studios in L.A. from the age of 18 till 27 or so.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the audio aspect of the show is very important. And, you know, when you're outside, it's windy, and you want to make sure that doesn't pick up a bunch of wind sounds. And so that's the windscreen we got. And And I have told people that no animals died in the making of this windscreen. It's a completely vegan windscreen, and I mean, it does its job. Now,
Eleanor, I have a question for you. You were just talking about our amazing capability at fingertips with technology, and I'd like to know, what do you consider? And also, I was fed this question from Roundtree again. What do you consider the best news media sources to keep on a short list? Where do you go?
Well, I personally don't. The only time that I look at the corporatized media is to see what they're shoving as propaganda.
Right.
So don't go to them. I mean, I think I have to mention Occupy.com, not just because they are the site that hosts ACT OUT, but also because I wrote for them, actually, as a freelance writer before ACT OUT was formed. And I was always incredibly impressed with the depth and breadth of knowledge that was available on that site. Occupy.com has writers all over the world, and so
yes,
they get a lot of that, you know, first-person narrative, which I think is very important. And they also, I mean, they share, just like any alternative outlet, they share a lot of news that they find on other sites. So Occupy.com, I think, is phenomenal. It's been around since the Occupy movement, and it really is still promoting those tenets of the Occupy movement and giving real, honest, straightforward, no bullshit, independent news. So Occupy.com is a big one. Truth Dig and Truth Out are two other ones.
Yeah.
Alternate, I think, is great. And let me see. I think Media Roots as well, which is run by Abby Martin, I think is another really great one.
She's LA based, right?
No, she's in New York.
Oh, she's in New York. Okay, yeah. She was on one of your shows. I remember that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal investigative journalist.
Very good,
for alternative media. Those are some of the big ones that I would suggest.
Do you watch much of Amy Goodman?
Yeah, I mean, I do listen to and watch Democracy Now! I think they're a bit heavy-handed on the election at the moment, which is frustrating. But, I mean, Amy Goodman is an amazing journalist and has sacrificed herself on the front lines several times to get the real story that no corporatized media outlet is giving. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and the reporting is phenomenal.
Oh, she was thrown to the ground during the 2008 Republican convention in nearby St. Paul here by the police and manhandled. And, you know, and she almost lost her life covering for her first book, Exception to the Rulers. Part of that deals with how she almost lost her life covering the uprisings in Indonesia, a province of Indonesia that she, you know, narrowly escaped only because she waved her passport and they saw that she was an American citizen.
Right.
Eleanor.
No, she's incredible. She's top-notch. And so is Tom Hartman, really.
Yeah, Tom Hartman's great.
Eleanor, I'm wondering, as far as activism right now, currently, and I know you were just saying, you know, she's really bogged down with the election going on right now, but that is what's happening. I'm wondering what you're thinking about the activism that is going on in the last week with supporters from mostly, I think, Bernie's side, but activists and BLM members and such that are protesting the Trump rallies and stuff. Do you have a opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think it's also important to note that we can't call them all Bernie supporters, specifically because Black Lives Matter as an organization has not come out in support of a specific candidate.
Right.
So therefore, I think, and I also think it's important to note that because you don't have to be a Bernie supporter to think that Trump is dangerous, a bigot, a racist, a hateful idiot.
Right.
And I think it's important to also note that this whole free speech conversation that's going on is really, it's frightening because there are people that are like centrists that are saying, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump did like his free speech was was curtailed by these protesters. That's just utter nonsense.
That is so ludicrous.
Social media has been exploding with this, which is basically just a far right excuse to try and, you know, to try and put these protesters down, which is of course what the establishment has done since COINTELPRO with Abby Hoffman and the civil rights movement. And I mean, this has been going on, and even before that with the suffragettes and all of this. So this is nothing new. It's the idea that as long as you can make the protester look like the bad guy, then even Donald Trump can seem like the good guy. So this is just a horrendous way of putting down the protester when they were the ones exercising their free speech right. of going in and standing up to hate, to bigotry, to racism, and saying, this is not okay, this is not American, this is not what we stand for, we don't want this on our campus, we don't want this in our city, and that is fully their right, and I support it 100%.
Yeah, me too, and I couldn't believe that 74-year-old redneck guy in a cowboy hat that just decked that kid as he was in his late 20s, I guess, and he was protesting in a Trump rally, I think, two or three nights ago, and the police were leading him out, like they always kick him out, and they always want to handcuff him and all that stuff. He's walking right by this guy. The guy walked right up to him and punched him right in the face. I mean, that is inexcusable, and they didn't even arrest him on the spot. They waited a whole other day before they finally arrested him, and I hope they throw the book at him. That's inexcusable to do that to somebody.
Well, it happened.
I think that was like a week or so ago. But still, I mean, Trump approves of this sort of reaction, and he calls his supporters passionate. And it's very dangerous to talk about this like it's just, you know, some regular political rally. This is a rally that is bringing together the very, like, dregs of society. And I don't have a problem saying that. Like, these are the far right. This is the vigilante violence that Chris Hedges talks about. These are the people that are looking to kick downwards, and they will kick as hard as they can. And these are extremists. And I don't think that it's okay for us to pretend like it's just some rally. It's like, no, this is a hateful, bigoted, racist rally, and we have to stand up to that.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. That's great. Oh, you just displayed quite a glint of your breadth and depth of knowledge with your references to Abby Hoffman and the suffragettes, and you know your stuff, Eleanor, and that's one of the reasons I'm so impressed with you. You really know your stuff. That's awesome. Incredible. So I'm glad you Google that shit as often as you do, and you keep your eyes wide open and your ears wide open, and hats off to you for that. And you serve as a role model for everybody in the country. Get on the Eleanor bandwagon, watch her show, everybody, and learn how to do it yourself. We need an enlightened country if we're going to survive on this globe. And we're not getting it from the Trump people and all those kind of, and the Cruz people and all those people. Incidentally, we've been talking about Trump and the national election. You've made the point many times on your show, and it's a very valid point, that you can't just get immersed in the presidential election or the congressional elections. You've got to do it on the local level and be an activist on the local level. Now, Gwen has an interesting story of during the Occupy times. I went out and occupied in Minnesota here in Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis. I went to that rally that they had, and it was great. It was very good to see people from all walks of life out there demonstrating, all races, all creeds. Everybody all had a sign. Everybody was doing their thing in 2011, and it was a great time. And Occupy.com, you know, sprung from that, from Occupy Wall Street. But Gwen, during the Occupy times and afterwards, too, Gwen, tell her what you were doing on the local level there to get people's awareness.
I actually would wear my Guy Fawkes mask backwards in Publix or something. Well, okay, my sister's sitting here, and she's saying, well, don't forget to tell him I was on the news in the Occupy with her. But basically, people ask questions that way. They want to know why you're wearing that. And Eleanor, I'm one of your elders. You know, I was in the streets in the 70s, okay? When they see somebody my age coming in who's obviously part of a protest movement they know nothing about but are hearing nothing about except MSM on it, they asked me questions. And so it was a wonderful way to get a conversation going about what it was really about, why Occupy Wall Street, who Anonymous is, you know?
Yeah, and a nice, in non-confrontational, enlightening way, very peaceful, very, that's the ideal way to do things, rather than hitting people in the face or hitting them over the head with a sign. Nobody has to do that. There's all kinds of ways to be an effective local activist. Eleanor, you agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the vast majority of people on the left are for a peaceful uprising.
Right, exactly.
Eleanor, Bobby Rodrigo says hello. He wants you to add to your meeting the fifth column news.
Sorry?
I'm getting a message from our chat room from Bobby Rodrigo, who asked you to add the fifth column news to your media list.
Okay, I'll have to look at it before I add it to my list. I don't want to just dive into that, but thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah, great.
I also had another question in here too. Somebody asked, how did you like working with Lee Camp during Rolling Rebellion?
I love Lee. Rolling Rebellion, I was working with Backbone Campaign at the time and doing these Rolling Rebellion events. And part of what I do is create and organize these creative activism events. So I put together the Rolling Rebellion event in Los Angeles and pulled in some great spoken word artists and pulled in some of my contacts from the Los Angeles activism scene and asked Lee to be a part of it. And it was a great night. We've performed with Lee a few times actually, and every time it's a great time and it's incredibly enlightening. And I think people definitely come away inspired and entertained.
Yeah, well, between you and Lee, I'd imagine it'd be quite a neat thing.
Yeah, you know, we had Lee on the show a few years back, and it was an unforgettable experience. We've also had Dennis Traynor on, and he was a very, very great guy, too.
He's
got
awesome.
His acronym TV that's on Free Speech now, too. So these are great people out there. And, folks, if you're only watching commercial television, regular network television, you are missing the boat. You've got to get around and you've got to Google that shit and learn about these people. They're doing very relevant, great TV, and it's a great source of news that you don't find in the regular corporate-owned media. So we highly recommend that you check this stuff out. Lee Camp has his own show on RT America now. That's great. And like I mentioned, Acronym TV with Dennis Traynor, he interviews a lot of people and gets into a lot of probing discussions with a lot of different activists and people from all walks of life. It's a great show. I watch it, and I wish it was, you know, on every day, you know, but it's on once a week, and that's great. So,
yeah, Dennis Traynor is a phenomenal journalist as well. Does a lot of, does a lot of great stuff. Like again, from the front lines, and really that first-person narrative that's so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Yeah. He did a great documentary too.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me, Eleanor, you're active with your band, Rooftop Revolutionaries, and you and that your partner Brian is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, that's right. Now you've released some tracks for listening that people can listen to. We'll get to that in a moment, where people can access it for themselves. But are you ever going to feature maybe one song segment live done with your band at some gig sometime? Would that be a possibility on one of the Act Out shows?
I have featured a video of Rooftop on Act Out, and if I felt if I felt that it was a good fit for the show, then
right.
Then I would insert it. I think the biggest problem for me is, since I care so much about audio quality. If it was a live show, then I would need to make sure that it was recorded well, and
yeah.
that's I mean, it's difficult.
It's hard to do live. I know. I understand that completely. Yeah, I understand that. But it'd be wonderful for people to see that, and they can also now tell them also. People, get out your pencils, like I advised earlier. Eleanor is going to tell us now where you can access the music that she has helped create. Why don't you tell them about that, Eleanor?
Oh, it's real simple, just rooftoprevolutionaries.com, and there are links to Amazon, to iTunes. You can also access the Rooftop store there if you want to buy. We have, of course, the albums for digital download, and then also merch, like the Fuck Corporate Power t-shirt, and we have, I mean, it's like Facebook links and Twitter links, so it's all accessible from the Rooftop page.
Great. That's wonderful. So I hope everybody got that, because it should be something that they explore. We encourage people to explore on this program as well as on your program. And it's very vital for people to be aware and intelligent and be able to make good decisions about our future. Let's face it. It's our future on this planet, in our own country, in our own cities. It's very, very vital that people know what's going on and not be buffaloed.
Eleanor, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you used, and what do you think of crowd resourcing?
For funding?
Yeah. For any.
Yes. Yes. Currently, the show, I'm trying to subsidize part of the show via Patreon. And so I do that for ACT OUT. I have done it in the past for Rooftop, for for travel expenses, for recording expenses. So it's something that I've done and I am currently doing. Even though I hate asking for money, I think it is something.
Well, you need to do it. You have to do it.
Yeah, it's something that more people are doing, and as you said, need to do, because there's a lot of money in destroying the world, but there's not a lot of money in trying to protect it. So I think we need to reach out to each other, and activists need to reach out and ask for that money and understand that they're giving something in return. It's not like you're just taking that money and going to Disney World. You are offering up content and an important piece of information or art or what have you in return.
Well, and
it also
allows people to choose to be your sponsor too, you know?
Right, yeah.
Which
very
is
vital.
I think that's a great integrity.
So, Eleanor, you've been active for a great many years in a lot of causes. Tell us a little bit about the early days. You know, you mentioned to me that your mom used to help you on some of your early protests and stuff like that. Did she paint you signs or something to carry? Was that it?
Well, my mom, as I said, she was active in the anti-nuclear movement before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she was always, I think probably just because as a Swede, then seeing how the U.S. kind of reacts to public lands and to the fossil fuel industry, I think it was pretty shocking for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she entered into the environmental movement after that as well. And then around 2003, when I was in high school, with the Iraq War coming up, even, in 2002, the protests started, and as a graphic designer, she would make signs, we would go to protests, and then she printed out these peace stickers and things for me to take to school to pass out, and I was not very popular amongst the students, but the teachers loved me, which I took as a direct sign of intellect likes peace and stupidity likes war.
Right, good
so
point.
So that was part of that, but I also started... I pretty much started as an environmental activist. Started out by being involved with the Save the Tigers campaign with the World Wildlife Fund, and then I moved to simple local issues. Like I started a recycling program at my school. So it started out like that. Then the anti-war campaign came along, and then as I started to dive into books, particularly Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine, and I can't
great
think
book.
Of his, I want to say Mark Pershing, I don't know if that's right, John Perkins, the Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Then I got into Chris Hedges, and it sort of snowballed from there, and I started to realize that the connectivity of all these issues. And then I sort of came into my own as an activist, and I realized that my issue, my overarching issue, is money and politics, but I am an ally for all movements, and sometimes I step up as more than an ally. For example, if it's environmentalism or the anti-war, which I still feel very strongly about, but I have been and will continue to be an ally in a lot of different movements, everything from, you know, the healthcare issue, reproductive rights, Black Lives Matter, all of these I continue to be an ally with, because I understand the connectivity of all of these, and I also want to show up with these movements, show up not just because I think it's important, but also to show other people that, hey, it doesn't have to be your issue, but I'm going to show up here, and when push comes to shove, when time comes to show up at this other protest, I hope you'll come and support as well, because it matters to all of us.
It really does, and it's great you're making that interconnectivity effort, Eleanor. That's incredible, and that's really good, and it's good advice for people, because it when push does come to shove, as it always does, you'll find you have active allies out there if you only seek them out.
Right.
The old, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine routine, and it works. It really does. It's very important.
Eleanor, I have a question for you. It's kind of an if or or question. Have you ever engaged someone that has a generally opposite view and changed their mind through debate or your expression? Or do you feel that your activism is more to organize and strengthen the many voices that already have your views but are not speaking out? Was I clear?
Yeah, and I think that I've sort of indirectly changed people's minds. I think there have been a couple of instances where I've changed people's minds through the art that I've shown them, because art has even though art can be very strong, it has this non-confrontational aspect to it where it's not somebody in your face saying, hey, you should think what I think. Mm-hmm. It's a poster, it's a song, it's a poem, it's a movie that presents this person with information and asks them to take it in however they take in information. So it's this non-confrontational way of showing them, like, hey, here's what's going on. And so I've seen that happen with things that I have, you know, given to people to listen to or to watch. I've also seen people change their mind on the streets. And I've, you know, when they've been there, I've walked up to them and engaged them. But that, I sort of see that as indirectly, because they're there witnessing either, you know, people being tear gassed, or they're there witnessing, you know, a protest being shut down violently by cops, or they're witnessing something that makes them stop, it makes them uncomfortable, it makes them question their understanding of the system. And then I walk up to them in that space where they have already been shocked, and I walk up to them in that space and say, hey, this is what's going on, like, you know, how do you feel about it, or let me tell you about it, or, like, this is what we're trying to do. And also, like, just sort of appealing to that human understanding of a situation, like, hey, we were just here trying to oppose fracking and the poisoning of kids and communities and planet in the name of profit. What brought you to this? Like, do you work here? Like, and just engaging with them as a human being and not walking up to them being like, hey, are you a corporate shill? Like, what, you know, I think sometimes people, and I've been this way too as an angry teenager, I think some people just confront people in the sense of, I don't understand how you could not understand that this is how it is. And but I think as you get older and you start to realize that, oh, shit, I've been wrong before, and how would I feel if somebody gave me that information in an asshole way? That would be really annoying. I'd rather get that information in a nice conversational way or through a piece of artwork or something like that, as opposed to getting it yelled at my face.
Right, Everybody recoils from that, and it actually can work against you when you're too overbearing. And it's very nice to be, you know, what the old saying is, you can collect more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. So the more honey you use, the better off you're going to be, and the more successful you'll be in the end run, I believe.
And I think that, you know, to answer the, before I answer the other question that you asked about, you know, talking to people that sort of already agree with me, I also think that it's important to understand for activists that you won't change everybody's mind. Like, I think that it's important, like, I've gone into, you know, I've gone into Tea Party rallies with the full understanding that I'm not going to change anybody's mind. I'm there to protest. You know, like, if I were to go to a Trump rally, I'm not there to, like, make these people my friends. I'm there to protest that they're there.
Right.
So I think it's important for activists to understand that sometimes you need to walk away and go talk to somebody who is on the fence and not waste your energy arguing with somebody who is just so far gone from fact and reality that it's not worth your time.
And I think it's kind of human for people to just take polar opposite approaches. When you really realize in the big picture of things, you're not only trying to maybe convince some of those people that are you're violently against or violently opposed to their position, you're also trying to pick up a few people that are wavering, that don't really know, that are they're fence straddlers, and you want them to land on your side of the grass, not on the other side. And that's those are very important people. All the independents of the world, you know, if they were be able to be united under one banner, man, it'd be a whole different world instead of having them be buffaloed by the Trump types and all those types of people. You're not going to convince a lot of those Trump-type people, but a lot of the fence waivers, you know, you can definitely pull them over to your side if you do it the right way, and that's what I think we're all trying to do in our own way.
Eleanor,
and I think that
Eleanor, actually, you, I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, darling. I liked very much something I heard you say. It grabbed my ear. I was listening to you as I was working in a video with Dennis. And you said art creating social consciousness.
Yeah.
And I mean that's very simple, and I know it's been said. But the context in which you said it, and the person who actually shot the question that I gave you before, the two-part question, is an artist, and she actually followed up saying that art allows a person viewing it to change their own minds without confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone believes their inner voice, right? And that's what she was asking. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think artists might not always believe their inner voice. I get in fights with mine a lot, but I think that, yes, I definitely agree with that analysis that the reason that art is so effective, again, is because it's a way for you to take in information the way that you are or want to take information. So you're going to be watching a documentary and you're taking it in a certain way, and you're at the same time asking those questions. I think everybody that, or a lot of people listening and both of you as well could attest to watching a documentary or seeing a piece of art or hearing a song and going, whoa. And then having that question, your understanding of the world. And so your understanding of the world shifts. And hopefully, I mean, we try to get closer and closer to a real, truthful understanding of the world. We're always going to have our own prejudice, you know, glasses on, so to speak. But I think we all try to move towards that real understanding. And art allows us to have those questions personally without having to be, like, pinpointed or spotlighted by somebody who feels like an arrogant prick hovering over us. It's a way for us to have that experience personally and then come to that understanding on our own, which also means, I think, you're more likely to stick to it because it's something that you feel that you got to and that you got to, like, just like when you have to, you know, show your work, so to speak, it's like, okay, I understand how I got to this point. I wasn't just fed this information. So I'm more likely to remember it, and I'm more likely to stick to it and to understand this truth as a truth, as opposed to just being like, oh, regurgitating shit that I heard on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Eleanor, are you familiar with the event coming up called Democracy Spring?
Yes.
Are you going to be covering that on ACT OUT?
I will, yes.
Okay, I just wondered. Actually, it was it was one of our listeners who wondered.
Eleanor, that leads me to a question here that I'd like to ask that just dawned on me here. I think Gwen touched on it a little bit earlier, but if we could expound on it a little bit further, how do you decide where to put your investigative talents and to, what to feature on your show? Some things just come out of nowhere, and you know, it almost behooves you to cover them. But other things, I mean, you've got to do some digging on your end. You've got to Google some of that shit. And what? How do you make the determination what to cover and what to ignore? And what is it that leads you to cover some of the stuff you do?
Well, I try to cover things that aren't immediately obvious. So,
right.
You know, I dig through Twitter feeds. I dig through a bunch of different outlets. I dig through Facebook even. I dig through the calendars of various organizations that I'm friends with or that I follow. So I dig through these various sources and try to find either people or information or both, upcoming events. And then I basically try to see, like, what is not getting covered. And the answer is pretty much none of it's getting covered by the bigger news outlets.
Oh, they're terrible, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Then I basically try to figure out what I think is not necessarily most important, but what I think can grasp people, what I think is most relevant to what's mm-hmm. happening right now. So, for example, if there's a march in India that has to do with their local food supply, then that's not really pertinent to what we're talking about here. I think it's great that they're doing that, but I don't think it's something that I can really cover and that my viewers will be able to apply to their own lives. Because that's really what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to create more activists, and thereby I have to meet people where they're at and give them information that's pertinent to their day-to-day and their understanding of the world. So that's kind of a rough checklist of how I go about.
Well, thanks for giving us that insight. It gives us food for thought, too, on things we can do to become more aware. You're a very, very aware person. You know, many people, they're just too tired after they get home from work. They don't even want to, all they want to watch is mindless, stupid reality shows and dumb stuff. I call it dumb stuff. I don't ever watch that stuff at all anymore. The only commercial TV I'll watch is occasionally some sports or something. And once in a great, great while, I'll tune into CNN, but it usually insults my intelligence, and I get so bored with it because of all the commercials they feed at you. That's why I love Free Speech TV, all the different shows that are on there. You know, there's a huge amount of great documentaries. So I'm constantly watching Free Speech. When I go to commercial TV, I get very agitated by every 10 minutes, there's 4 minutes of commercials. God, you're just bombarded with bullshit. It just drives you crazy.
Yeah.
So, thanks for the insights on that.
Absolutely.
Eleanor, we got somebody in the chat that wants to say hello from Greece, and just saying hello from Greece, Lane.
So, oh, that's awesome. She's a phenomenal collage artist. She's brilliant. I had her on the show not just as an artist, but as you know, someone on the ground in Greece who could really speak to what was going on there. And she's also somebody who's very aware and, like I said, a brilliant artist.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Greece has really been through it. Yes,
many
days I've thought today I am Greek. Yeah, I really get that one. I also wanted to mention. Oops, sorry, I'm flipping it here. It just went off the screen. Sorry. Eleanor, we are coming to the top of the hour, and I wanted to ask you: is there any kind of information out there that you'd like to get up before we play out, because I really would love to play your video. Folks, geez, help me out here.
Folk devils.
Folk devils.
I heard it twice yesterday. I haven't heard it today. I thought, yeah, I would really love to play out with that because it was good. I think the folks would enjoy it. So anything else that you'd like to get in here before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have people watch the show, and again, I'm not hard to get a hold of. I really appreciate reading people's comments, and I try to respond to all the emails that I get. You know, we touched upon it earlier, rooftoprevolutionaries.com, but also artkillingapathy.com is sort of a hub for everything that I do, from the creative activism events to the spoken word pieces to the band and other campaigns that I do. I'll be releasing a spoken word poetry book of my spoken word intros later this year that will also combine the poems with art from artists like Anthony Freda, Abby Martin Lane, who just said hi, and a bunch of other phenomenal artists, political artists. So that'll be something to look out for. And you know, continue to look, and I mean, Google that shit, of course, but also read books, please. They're awesome. And also, you know, like, watch things like Free Speech TV, you know, watch things that are available on Occupy.com, watch Lee Camp on Redacted Tonight, watch RT America, they have amazing shows, watch Abby Martin on Telesaur English. Watch the people that are really digging deep into these issues, because they're doing all the hard work for you. All you have to do is turn it on and watch, and then get engaged, and then start digging into whatever your passion is. Find the parallel issue and meet us on the front lines.
Very good point. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today, Eleanor. It has really been a blast. You are a very intelligent lady, and I respect you greatly. And all that you do, man, you're helping the world in an incredible way. In your own way, you're doing it. I have a post on the Saturday Afternoon Post right now, my blog post, that's called "A Clever Artist Kills Apathy Her Own Way," and it's all about Eleanor Goldfield. And it has some of the tidbits in there that we talked about today and other related stuff, too. So I encourage people to go there, too, and learn all you can about Eleanor Goldfield, what she's up to. And, Eleanor, I want to extend an invitation for you to come back on this show. It's been a blast today, and I hope we'll be able to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you guys. And
it's been a lot of fun,
and
we appreciate you, definitely.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure. So you have a great rest of the weekend, and keep on pushing forward, kid. You're doing a great job.
Likewise, thank you.
We love you. Thanks, honey.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so I'm going to play us out on the Sunday show here with Rooftop Revolutionaries, and this is Folk Devil.
Fire in her eyes.
That was the Rooftop Revolutionary with Eleanor.
Wonderful, amazing woman, incredible, yes. Incredible woman. Keep pushing forward, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Looking forward to it. And we'll have her back again. She's multifaceted and very talented and very, very relevant. Boy, what a savvy person.
Yes, she is. She's very talented, very gifted. I'm just happy to know she's out there. I want to thank everybody for listening in and remind you that we are sponsored by Roundtree7, the number 7.com. Go over there and check it out, especially David's post today on the history of the Pledge of Allegiance salute.
Cool.
Okay. We'll try to get through the rest of this one. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll be speaking next Sunday. So
yes.
Tune in. Thank you, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you, Gwen. Great show. And keep up the good work, everybody. Keep pushing forward. We'll talk to you again next week. Looking forward.